God's grace to you and peace through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we've been going through the fruits of God's Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and now we're on the last one, which is self-control. Self-control. Now, it's the last in the great list of the fruits of the Spirit, but not the least. If you will, some have said that love is the first bookend. It's the first of the fruits out of which flow all the other fruits of God's Spirit. But this is the other bookend, self-control, the last of the fruits, which is the one that holds all the other fruits together and makes them secure, even holds our life together. Let me ask, are you self-controlled? Do you have control over yourself in your life? Are you increasing in that? Is that growing in you, or are you getting more out of control? Does your life seem in control or out of control? Let's see what God would tell us about that today through His Word, the Bible, His Scriptures. He has a good word for us for our encouragement. First of all, if we want to talk of self-control, it is a what?
Fruit
of the Holy Spirit. So something God is putting into you, wants you to have, and it's a work of the Spirit inside of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So God wants that to be inside of you. What is self-control? Well, this is very deep. You have to go to seminary to get this, okay? Try to follow me. It is the ability to control yourself. Really tough, isn't it? Self-mastery. It's the ability to direct yourself in a certain way, even when another side of you doesn't want to go in that way. You have to control yourself to go in this direction, what you ought to do, instead of necessarily what you always feel like doing. Let me ask you a question. Does the world have self-control, do you think? Well, as defined so far, in a sense it does. Even Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, an athlete exercises self-control in all things to obtain a perishable wreath. So if you're training for the Olympics, or to be an NFL star or NBA star, are you going to have self-control? A certain measure of it. You're going to eat right, you're going to exercise, you're going to train, you're going to do your skill until you're so superb that you can win the gold medal. So there's a certain self-control in the world. There's a certain self-control in dieting so that you can lose weight, avoid the, what we're eating next door in a few minutes. Maybe today's not the day for a diet. You have self-control in business. If you want to make a lot of money, you've got to, you know, get up early, go late to bed, not overspend, discipline yourself, have a certain self-control for worldly wealth. You can even have self-control in religion, even false religions. Jesus, in his day, was witnessing to hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees, but they were very self-controlled in a certain way that, you know, you have to wash before you eat, you have to do your cups and dishes a certain way. You have to wear a certain type of clothing. You can only walk so many number of steps on a Sabbath day. They had a lot of, quote, self-control to appear very religious, and yet they weren't, in Jesus' eyes, holy at all. But they had a certain measure of self-control. So there's a certain measure of self-control that is experienced by people in the world. But is that what we're talking about when we talk about this self-control? You say no, Kevin, why?
Self-control in your...
Yep, you're on the right track. Because it is a fruit of the Spirit. Does the world have the Spirit?
No.
The world does not have the Spirit of God. Therefore, it does not have this kind of self-control. And what is this kind of self-control is Christian self-control. So, Jeff. You're called on. What kind of self-control is a Christian to have? Over what? Over just his diet and his exercise and his money? What are we supposed to especially have self-control over?
Over the
Over the old Adam, oh, you can preach this for me. Step right up here. Over our old sinful passions, those desires that are inside of us. Because you know, when we're born again in Christ, when we become Christians, we've got now got two people inside of us. There's the new nature, the good, that Christ has created, a new heart that wants and goes after the good. But then there's still that old evil inside of us, the old evil side, the old Adam, as you said, that wants to go after the bad. And so there's a battle inside of us. And so the Christian self-control is self-control over those old evil desires, which we're going to feel, but we master them and point ourselves to go in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. And this is so super important. Remember, it's the fruit that holds all the other fruits, if you will, together, protects them, secures them. The Bible says, if I'll open up here, let's see what God says in Proverbs 25. In verse 28, he says, God says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So if you don't have self-control, you are just going to be overrun and destroyed by the enemy. But if you have self-control, you're like a fortified city with great high walls, and you can look down on your enemies and be sure that you'll stay safe and be always victorious over them. So what does a Christian's self-control look like? This is, remember, a fruit of the Spirit. It's what God's working in you. What might it look like in our lives? Well, let's take control over the tongue. Are you guys good at that? Well, what do we read here in James chapter 3? We read this. He says, verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, almost every trouble that you see out there in the world today has been set ablaze by a tongue that is out of control. Amen? All kinds of troubles out there. Tongues are used for hurt, for harm, for slandering and killing another person's reputation, for cutting people down, for blaspheming against God, for all kinds of wicked and evil purposes. That is a tongue out of control. But what happens inside of a Christian when the Spirit is in you and gives you a new nature? Well, I met a guy some years ago, I think on my boat. He's come to church, I believe, but he told me that he was in the Marines, I think Special Forces, Green Beret, in Vietnam, and he used to cuss like a Marine. Every word out of his mouth was blank this and blank that, D-A-M-N this and D-A-M-N that, and God blank, and using the Lord's name in vain. Well, he went to a church one night and heard the gospel, and he repented of his sins, and he came to Christ and got saved. And then he went back to the base and got up the next morning and thought everything would be more or less the same, because he's saved, but more or less the same. Well, he went in to drill the men, and he went to use his old words, and he says, you, and you, and he couldn't do it. It was as if there was a sword that was whacking every word that was coming out of his lips. He could only get partway into it, and he couldn't do it. Because now that he's a Christian, he can't use the Lord's name in vain. And these kinds of words, he was convicted in his spirit, these are not right. And all of a sudden, guess what? Something new was inside of him. His tongue was getting controlled by his own new nature, by the Spirit in him. All of a sudden, he couldn't say those old words anymore. And he starts to use it to praise Jesus Christ instead of curse him, to speak the truth. And his tongue was stronger than ever, and yet gentler. And his men were like, Sarge, what happened to you? I went to this church last night and got saved, is what happened. Control of the tongue. That's what's happening inside of us. None of us are perfect in that. You know, we're all growing in this, but it's growing in you. Another thing you can think of is revenge. Is the world out of control with that one, Beth? The world's out of control. Wants to get even and level the score. You know, it used to be when people would cut us off on the road, maybe some of you got road rage and you wanted to go cut him off on the road and maybe flip him the bird, as they say. But now, something comes inside of you, you might feel that battle and want to do it right away, but coming into your mind is Romans 12, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And then you hear that other word, that beautiful word saying, forgive as you've been forgiven. And you're like, take your foot off the speed, hit the brake a little, and you say, have a nice day, sir. Hope you have a safe trip home. And you're like, where'd that come from? That came from the Spirit. That's self-control. And what's the biggest out of control in the world? I think sex and lust, don't you? The world is nuts out of control on that today. You can't go anywhere and not see it. But now, where you used to maybe be able to check out that girl, giving her the once-over and musing on a magazine or living outside of marriage in sex and having no pang of conscience, now you're like, that's not right. This is not the way I should be going. The Spirit says, no, this is the way. Walk in that. And you say with Job, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then should I look upon a virgin? And you go in the right way. That's Christian self-control. And you could talk about drunkenness and carousing and lawless idolatry and wild partying and love of money and wrong aim in life and no knowledge of God and all the out of control that's in the world. Now you go in the way of the Word of God. You go in the way of keeping company with the redeemed, with worshiping the Lord, with walking in the good way that leads upward, that leads to the kingdom. And so we have a battle inside of us. It's not saying that there's no battle. It's that there's a battle, but you win. That's what self-control means, is you win. And you have the power to win. For God has given you the spirit of power and of love and of self-control, Paul tells Timothy. Self-control. It's one of the powers that are at work within us. So why do we need to be careful about this? Why do I need to preach to you on this today, do you think? Because we live in a world that is, Ernie, what is it? Out of control. Is the world out of control? The world is like a wild, lusty stallion that can't be tamed. The world is like a train that's running off the tracks and cannot keep to its way. The world, in a word, is, and you have to go to seminary to get this, nuts. Tongues are used to destroy. Revenge runs rampant. Anger, which we have to control, is bubbling up and boiling over. Quick sparks like lighting a fast fuse on a firecracker are people. And in sexual lust, the world is totally out of control. I think that's one of the biggest ones. I mean, you can't watch on TV an advertisement for a toothbrush without a girl in a bikini or an evening gown. If you look at the news anchors, the major news networks. If you're a major news network guy, what can you look like? Any way you want. You can be big, no hair, out of shape, wear a dull-looking suit. But if you're the girl, the woman, what do you look like? Top 10 model, gorgeous spring suit. You're looking beautiful because the networks know that this is eye candy because they want you to watch, and this girl's going to get you to watch. It's all over the place. TV, sitcoms, movies highlight this kind of stuff, and music. I was talking with Beth about this the other day. It was amazing we survived the 80s. Yeah, I grew up in the 80s. Yeah. That sounds early to you. It was the 1980s, not the 1880s like some of you. Just kidding. All right, all right, all right. Easy. Easy. It's not even in my manuscript. I just thought that up. We had songs like this one. I remember this one. Turn the radio up for that sweet sound. Hold me close, never let me go. Keep this feeling alive, make me lose control. Then you have the stereotypical baby, baby. Then you say, When I look into your eyes, I go crazy. Fever's high with the lights down low. Take me over the edge, make me lose control. That was the kind of song that was on the radio when I was in high school. And what is that? That's the opposite of self-control. That's out of control. And it is glorified in the world to be out of control. Who's the popular person in the world? The person that's the rebel, that's lawless, and that doesn't obey any rules? That's the one we want to be like, says the world. Well, that's a runaway train. That's heading for disaster. It's out of control in everything. Drugs, alcohol, thoughts, feelings, emotions, love of money, aim in life, doesn't know God, doesn't know the truth, and such things. But I ask you, what is the end of being out of control? Glory for a little while from the world, they'll love you, but in a short time, train wreck, disaster, death, ruin, devastation, and all bad things. Think about this. The Bible says, once again, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls, totally defenseless before the enemy. Alexander the Great, he was a super commander in the 300s BC, conquered every kingdom that there is in the world. He was about 30 years old, and he had no more to conquer. He conquered everybody. Was he happy? Actually, he was in terrible pains, dying of syphilis from a sexually transmitted disease. The guy was addicted to drugs, the drugs of his day, and he wept that he had no more kingdoms to conquer. His life ended in disaster, pain, and sores. Why? He could conquer the world, but he couldn't conquer himself. He had no self-control, and so he died a young man and full of tears. Well, that's why Paul, when he's preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 4, self-control is one of the things he mentions. He mentions it to Governor Felix. He's preaching before Governor Felix, and Felix allows him to come and preach to him. And it says, Paul sought to persuade Felix about justice or righteousness and self-control and future judgment. As soon as he mentioned those words, self-control and such things, Felix, it says, the governor, was alarmed at Paul's preaching. He didn't like it. It was scary. I don't like that. I'm out of control. I don't like this preaching. And he said, go away, and I'll hear you some other time. And he got Paul right out of the room. The world doesn't want to hear about self-control. It likes to be out of control. Not us. We're Christians. We have control. And you know what control is? It's power. It's power to control and go in the right way. The right way that is called the ancient path in the Bible. The good way where you're going to find rest for your souls now, a good path, and in the end it leads into the kingdom high up above. That's where God is leading us. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. You're stronger than Alexander the Great, my friends. You're stronger than Alexander the Great because you rule yourself. Amen. So what are we like then? What are we supposed to be like according to God? Well, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul puts it like this. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. We're supposed to be like athletes that train and eat right and exercise and live a very disciplined life, but they do it just to get something that's going to tarnish and die and wither away, a perishable wreath. But we're doing all these things because we're after an imperishable wreath. Glory that will never fade. The crown of righteousness and life from God. You're going to run that race, and you're going to win that race. And one of the things that's going to cause you to win that race is self-control, which is the spirit at work inside of us. So how do we do that? How do we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus in this manner? Well, here's the first thing. There's an old story of an Indian, an Indian chief, I suppose. And he said, inside of me, he told the young scout, there are two dogs. There's the evil one and there's the good one. And the evil one wants to be going the evil way. The good one wants to go in the good way. "Well, which one wins?" asked the young scout to the old man. And the chief said, "Whichever one I feed more." In other words, inside each one of you as Christians and inside of me, there's the good and then there's the evil side of us. The good is in charge, the evil has been conquered, but it's still alive. Which one's going to win that battle? The one that you feed more. The devil is trying to feed your old nature daily when you turn on the television. When you go onto YouTube, when you look at a magazine while you're trying to buy, yogurt, you got to look at this right next to you in the checkout aisle. He's trying to pepper you, to plant seeds, to throw into your mind everything he can do to make strong your old nature so it can conquer and get the body back. But you're not going to let that happen because you got self-control. What you feed your mind with is the Word of God. And when you see those devil seeds, you turn away from it. Don't let them get in. And you go after the preaching and you go after each other, Christian company and all the good things that build you up. You ever see that old movie, U-571, World War II movie? Remember that? Where the Nazi submarine has been hit by a U.S. destroyer and it's crippled. It used to be the old German U-boat with the old Nazi captain going after evil ways for destruction. Well, the Americans catch wind that this boat's crippled, so they send a secret U.S. sub disguised as a Nazi U-boat so that they can sneak aboard the German U-boat, and they do, and they take it over. And now the old German U-boat now has a new commander, the American lieutenant. And the U-boat, which used to go after evil, is now going after the American allied cause. It's going after what's good because it's under new command. In the same way, we used to be just the German U-boat with an evil old Nazi captain. We were following the passions of our flesh and the desires of body and mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, and your body followed after your sinful nature. But then there came a great battle, and the Spirit came in and conquered that and gave you a new commander, the American lieutenant. There's a good person inside of you who's now in charge of this old body, this old boat, and now your body goes in the right way, after the allied cause, after the cause of God and of Christ. But in that movie, that Nazi U-boat captain, what happened? He got plucked up out of the water, brought aboard as a prisoner, and the rest of the movie, Egan, did you see this movie? What does that Nazi U-boat captain want to do with his old boat? Get it back. And he does everything he can to ascend to the top and run his old boat again. Just like your sinful nature might not be totally dead yet. It's kind of dead, but it's captive. It's alive in your body, but it's not in command of its old boat anymore. And your job as the new nature, as the American lieutenant, as the new man God's made you, is to keep that old Nazi captain in submission. The whole rest of the movie, they're like, put him in chains, knock him out, keep him in submission, because he's either going to get his old boat back or destroy it or die trying. Well, the same thing for us, friends. Put your old nature into submission. The devil's going to try to feed it and make it strong to take over again. You say, no food for you. No water for you. It's like the soup. You can be the soup Nazi, okay? No food for you. No food for the old nature. You feed it with the Word of God. You feed it with the things that are good and right and of God, and make strong your new nature, and your old one will never be able to match. In fact, it already can't match. But we're called in the Bible to do this. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So that's number one, feed the new nature. Secondly, is understand that when God gives you self-control, he's not just giving you a call to live a righteous life, which he does as well. He's giving you power. Say the word power.
Power.
When God gives you self-control by his Spirit, you have power over things. The world tells you you're out of control. You can't control your emotions. You can't control your thoughts. You can't control your depression. You can't control your addictions. You just got to feed the lust and satisfy the urge, and that's the only way to get through it. You have no power. God says, that's not right. You have power. I give you power. You can control your thoughts. The Bible says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Do you know that you can control your mind? You can control it. You can control your thoughts so that you can rid yourself of depression and such things because you're in control. You have the power. You can even control your emotions. Well, why else does Jesus say in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid"? In other words, control your fears. Control your anger. You have the power to do it. Say, I have the power.
I have the power.
To do it. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And part of winning is knowing that you have the power to do it. You can be the captain on the bridge and your emotions are just officers. They can offer suggestions, say, thank you very much, I appreciate your suggestion. But if they get out of line, say, stand down and be quiet. And if they won't stand down and be quiet, say, shut up. If they won't shut up, then shut them up in the brig. If they won't shut up in the brig, then tell your other lieutenant, you have my permission to shoot him. I will not have fear in my life today. I will not have doubt in my life today. I have power of self-control, and I'm in command by the Spirit of God within me. And I can do all things in him who strengthens me. So that's number two. Finally, number three is just simply understand that you are under grace, friends. The Bible says sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under law but under grace. Jesus is in total command of all things, and God is. And he came and he died for you and he rose again and he gives you eternal life as a free gift of his grace. And you've been born again through faith in him. You're not under the law. Sin has no power to rule you anymore. You have power over it to go in the way of Jesus Christ because of the Spirit inside of you. You're under grace. Say grace.
Grace.
We're going to say grace in a moment, but I want you to say grace now. You're under grace. You're set free. You are children of the Heavenly Father. You are sons of light and princes of the world to come. And God says, now you're with me. And I am making you like myself. I not only have all things under my control, I'm in total control of myself, and I have made with you an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. So friends, put on self-control. It's one of the best. Keeps your whole life together, and God's going to help you. We're not perfect in this yet, but we're getting there, and the Spirit is growing us that in us. And therefore, I'll conclude with these words from Peter, his second letter, chapter 1. He says, therefore, friends, Christians, supplement your faith with virtue. Add that to it. And add to virtue knowledge. And add self-control to knowledge. And then add to that steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. For in doing so, you're making your call and election sure, confirmed, and you'll never fall. And the end result of this beautiful fruit and all the others is so there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.